You're listening to WRTI live from the Performance Studio. That was violinist Katie Hyun playing Joy from David Lang's Mystery Sonatas. And this is a piece that will be on your recital tomorrow.
Yes, it's on the recital tomorrow.
So how do you plan a recital, an astral recital?
For this astral recital, Dan told me I had complete artistic freedom. So it got me really excited because I wanted it to sort of represent my journey with the violin. I got into Baroque violin about 9 years ago. And I wanted a program that would showcase both violins. So this is actually part of a longer-term project I'm calling Two Minstrels. It's about Ryan, the modern violin, and Jason, the Baroque violin. They have different personalities and characteristics, and they like to travel and tell their stories to people.
So you name your violins?
I named them after their makers. I didn't just pick random guys' names. Jason Visseltier is the maker of my Baroque violin, and Ryan Soltis made this modern violin.
Now, talk a little bit about the Lang, why you included that on your recital.
So David Lang, well, I definitely wanted a Bieber piece with the Baroque violin, and David Lang had actually written his own set of mystery sonatas, which is sort of a response to Bieber's set of mystery sonatas. And actually the main reason I chose the Lang was because, you know, when someone says the word violin, the first sound I think of is definitely not that piece. And I kind of have a soft spot for things that are unexpected or different. And so this one was really intriguing to me, and I found that the Lang demanded a different kind of technique that I hadn't encountered before. So for me, it was a challenge that was exciting for me to take on.
And Bieber's mystery sonatas were more religious in nature, but they extended the technique and the range of the violin at the time, didn't they?
Exactly, yeah. So all the pieces on the recital program sort of push the boundaries in terms of violin technique. And, you know, it's demanding on the violinist, but I think it also celebrates what the violin is capable of doing.
And it clearly has this kind of spiritual sense.
Yeah. So there's a lot of internal reflection in a lot of these pieces. And I found that it really did something for me when I was spending time alone with the violins. And it's personal to each person. So
the first piece was Joy. And the second piece?
Okay, this one's After Joy. So, I mean, not that you have to feel that. It's just, it's what the titles are. And I think, you know, even David himself said to each their own, they take it how they feel.
So is there anything special we should listen for?
Try to listen for the in-tune notes. Yeah, that's basically, I mean, for me, it made me really think about how I use the bow, the way it bounces. I became almost OCD over this particular movement because it goes by really fast. And I thought about like the way the stick bounces, the tension of the hair, the amount of rosin on it. I mean, it got me into a really obsessive zone, which, you know,
interesting to listen to, also to watch. So if you're near a computer and tune into Facebook Live, we are also streaming live. So After Joy by David Lang, part of his Mystery Sonatas, violinist Katie Hyun. Thank you. What a cool piece. Oh my gosh, that was amazing. That was violinist Katie Hyun playing After Joy by David Lang from his Mysteries. So where did you grow up and how did you come to play the violin and the Baroque violin?
So I moved around a lot when I was little. I was born in Virginia, Colorado 8 years, Texas 6 years, and then I went to Curtis. So I was always singing in the car, apparently, and my parents, they're not musical. They're not musicians. Oh. So they thought, oh, that's interesting. And they put me on piano lessons first. And then I saw my cousin play violin. And apparently I wouldn't stop talking about it. So my parents are like, okay, fine. Just get her a violin and make her stop.
How old were you then?
I was 5. And then once I started violin lessons, the teacher sat down with my mom and she said, your kid has a chance. You have to make sure she practices an hour every day. Which, of course, I didn't want to. Who wants to practice when they could go outside and play? But I'm so glad that that happened, because now this has been a really big part of my life and obviously, you know, taken off.
Right. And well, and this, I noticed that you brought two violins today, even though you're playing only one, and you're very attached and you take good care of both of these violins, Ryan and Jason.
Yes. Yeah. So the Baroque violin is sleeping right now. And just, it's very temperamental. The gut strings change with temperature and humidity. And so tomorrow's recital, I'll be going back and forth between the two violins. And oftentimes in performances, and you'll see this if you go to any early music concert, a lot of the players have the instruments on stage before they go on stage, because I learned the hard way. Sometimes the air on the stage is different from backstage. And when that changes, the strings react and they change as you're playing. So it was a little bit nerve-wracking when that caught me before. And that's kind of why I kept the violin in its case right now.
Right, but you carry it with you everywhere.
Yes, I've had nightmares about bringing the wrong violin to a rehearsal, which I have actually done before. So I just don't want to take chances. Right. And
is it difficult to go back and forth between Baroque and modern violin?
Yes, it took me a while. I needed to spend a lot of time. It's a different set of muscles entirely. It's a different technique, especially when you're performing, when the adrenaline kicks in. You know, you're trained to use a certain set of muscles and channel the adrenaline in a certain way on the modern violin. It doesn't work on the Baroque violin. I also learned that the hard way. And so it's a completely different skill set. So, yeah. It takes some time. It's not the easiest, but it is rewarding, though, because it's such a different world.
Wow. So the next piece we'll hear is not on your recital, nor was it composed for violin.
No, it's a set of etudes that Piazzolla had written for flute, but we found that it works really well on violin. Alexi Kenny had introduced it to me, and I've had fun with it ever since then. And it's not uncommon for flute and violin to share a repertoire because the register is so similar.
Okay, so this is Tango Etude number 4 for solo flute or violin.
Yes.
Okay, you're listening to WRTI live from the Performance Studio. We're also streaming live on Facebook. We're here with violinist Katie Hyun.
Thank you.
That was beautiful. Violinist Katie Hyun playing Astor Piazzolla's Tango Etude No. 4 for solo flute on the violin.
Yeah.
What is the repertoire for solo violin like? Is it big? Is it expanding? Or people writing more for it?
I think it's continually expanding, but that's like repertoire of any instrument. You know, composers were inspired to write often because their friends played a certain instrument, or they themselves played the instrument, such as Bieber and Corelli. They both played the violin. Tomorrow I'm doing the world premiere of a piece by George Meyer, who also plays the violin. And so I'm very excited to show that to people. I hope you get to hear it. It's very exciting. And he's also sort of pioneering what the violin can do.
I was thinking as I was listening to you and watching you play, are you constantly discovering new things that your violin can do?
Constantly. I the more I get to know them, the more I feel like they have a certain personality or a voice, and, you know, they're curious. And so I feel like the violin itself is also expanding, which, you know, just sort of opens up a world of possibilities.
Can you tell us a little bit about Ryan, your violin?
Ryan, I got back in 2011, I think, 2010, 2011. It's been an amazing relationship, you know, for the past however many years. It has, you know, Ryan's not as picky as Jason when it comes to climate or environment. And I feel like the violin teaches me a lot as well. And to be honest, actually, this bow I've had for much longer, it's a Fatih. And it was the bow that chose the violin, I almost want to say. Kind of like the wand chooses Harry Potter.
Great.
I mean, I've tried quite a few violins, and I realized that the violin and bow work really well together. I was with a group of friends, and we were kind of dorking out with different violins and bows one night. Without my saying anything, these guys were like, well, this bow and this violin kind of go really well together. And I was so proud because it was this pair.
Well, I want to remind our listeners that you can tune in on Facebook Live because you can see Ryan and his bow. What about the bow makes it good for Ryan?
It draws out a certain kind of sound. I mean, I think it makes the most of what Ryan has to offer in terms of tone and depth and just the different colors that it's capable of giving off. You notice the difference when you play a different bow. You can ask any string player what kind of difference the bow makes. And it's something we don't think about as often as we think about the actual instrument. But it really does draw out different sounds.
So your recital tomorrow is at the Trinity Church, Holy Trinity Church on Rittenhouse Square. You'll be playing music of Lang, Bieber, Bartok, Corelli, and this world premiere by George Meyer. And you also have collaborating artists.
Yes. So Seraphim is coming down to play on the Baroque cello, and Charlie is coming to play theorbo on the Baroque pieces.
Theorbo is?
Theorbo is a bass lute. People are always fascinated when they see it, so I can't wait to make him explain what that is when he gets here. Yeah.
That's great. So what's the last piece you'll play for us today?
The last piece is also another etude by Piazzolla, and it's Tango Etude No. 3.
You're listening to WRTI live from the Performance Studio, violinist Katie Hyun.
Thank you.
was great. That was Katie Hyun playing Astor Piazzolla's Tango Number 3 for solo flute on the violin, and it was really fun watching you use that bow.
I learned a lot from this bow, that's for sure. And
well, thank you so much for taking the time. Katie, as a reminder, is doing her astral recital tomorrow evening, 7:30, Church of the Holy Trinity on Rittenhouse Square, music of Lang, Bieber, Bartok, Corelli, and a world premiere by George Meyer. So good luck, congratulations, and thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me, really.